entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Yes, and thanks, Deb, for that. Because, by the way, Long Island, you definitely need to watch out this weekend. Just if you are in the Northeast, you need to prepare for Tropical Storm Henri, according to FEMA. I'll give you a little bit more information on, well, a lot more information on that. But first, we have a fascinating guest joining us today. He is a former senior intelligence service officer at the CIA. He's also the author of Clarity in Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the CIA. He is a baseball and dive bar aficionado, I'm told. And his name is Mark Polymeropoulos, and he's joining us right now on the phone. Hi, Mark.
Hey, it's great to be with you this morning.
Great to have you here. I loved a tweet that you sent out yesterday, and this shows what credibility you have. You tweeted out, you said, friends and family on the left are asking me to tone down criticism of the administration's handling of Afghanistan. That's missing the point. For me to be credible, I need to call it like it is. Integrity is all we got. I love that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I'm glad that you're a guest. Now, I want you to give us an update on Afghanistan. We've got some reports now that claim that President Biden was warned about the impending doom there. The Wall Street Journal reports a dozen diplomats sent him a confidential memo, actually sent it to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, on July 13th, so more than a month ago. And the gist of the message was clear, that the Taliban was gaining ground not only around the country but Kabul itself. It was vulnerable. Local forces there that were trained by the military, by U.S. military, were beginning to collapse. And then you also have a former CIA counterterror chief predicting that Kabul would crumble within days once American troops made their exodus. What's your feeling about all of this?
So I think this comes down to, this is a pretty classic case of a policy failure, vice and intelligence failure. You know, one of the interesting things about CIA is that we have a really deep bench in Afghanistan of operations officers. Those are the officers in the field, as well as analysts back in headquarters, who for 20 years have taken a look at the country. We've actually been very pessimistic for quite some time. And so the idea that this was any kind of intel failure, look, an investigation is going to bear out that there was plenty of analytic assessments that maybe not predicted to the time, place, and hour where the government would fall, but gave enough warning. You know, when you talk about an analytic assessment saying within 30 days a capital is going to fall, that's not saying that the GDP is bad or the trade deficit is problematic. That should be a red blinking light for policymakers. And so I think it's a little disingenuous to say this was an intelligence failure. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, there will be time for after-action reviews, but right now we've got to get out the 50 to 70,000, you know, U.S. allies who are still stranded in Afghanistan, who can't even get to Kabul, let alone get in the airport. So this is a crisis that is not over, and I really fear in the days ahead what's going to happen to really Afghan, you know, men and women who helped us for 20 years. The humanitarian tragedy, you know, we haven't even begun to see this yet.
So, Mark, from what it sounds like, you think the intelligence advice that the president got told him that as soon as the United States military left, we were likely to see happen exactly what happened as quickly as it happened? And if so, why do you think the president would have gone forward with this plan in the manner in which he did?
Well, I think this is a case of a bit of hubris. You know, one of the disappointing things that I've seen is that this national security team, as well as this president, who were all really steeped in foreign policy. You know, we were all, I think, you know, excited, perhaps relieved, you know, with the change of administration that we have a real true varsity team in power. They ended up making a mistake that we would have expected the previous administration to make. I think it was based on just the absolute desire to get out of Afghanistan. President Biden on the campaign trail was very clear on this. But conditions on the ground do matter. And ultimately, you know, we left too soon. We left without proper planning and looked to see the results. But you know, make no mistake, the intelligence was there. Whether a policymaker chooses to listen to it, entirely different thing. I think you saw there was a State Department dissent channel. That's really important. That means the diplomats on the ground in Kabul, you know, tried to get to Washington their views as even the senior members of the embassy perhaps were not listening.
Another topic I really want to get to, and Frank, if you have more questions on Afghanistan, please ask, but this is fascinating to me because you spent years, 30 years essentially at the CIA. You've been in places, you've been in war zones, you've been in Iraq, you've been in Afghanistan, but from as far as I know, you haven't had any injury but for what you dealt with when you stayed at the Marriott Hotel in Moscow near the U.S. Embassy. You woke up in the middle of the night, and tell me what you were experiencing.
So So this is clearly not the way, you know, I want my legacy, you know, I want to be remembered. I spent 26 years at the agency. I was, you know, I had an amazing career. I spent a year in Afghanistan as a base chief along the Pak-Afghan border, got rocketed every day. You know, my life was in danger, but in fact, you know, the most perilous situation I ever faced was on December 5th, 2017, when I was in Moscow and I woke up in the middle of the night to an incredible case of vertigo, to splitting, blinding headaches. Headaches that last to this day, and I was subject to, you know, to one of these what we think are directed energy attacks. It caused me to actually retire, which is pretty remarkable. After all those times and all these war zones, I'm at a 5-star hotel in Moscow, and this is what finally gets me. But it's a really kind of tragic story of a healthcare journey. That I'm feeling better now, but boy, it took a long time for me to get the care that I needed.
Well, I'd read that some people who went through this were analyzed by doctors and medical professionals, and there was a change in their actual brain makeup. Did you have any of that analysis?
No, and I think that because they were looking for some of the wrong things. So, you know, when I got into imaging, the MRI, it doesn't necessarily come up. There's some more sophisticated tests that do. There's new tests now in terms of blood tests that are showing what has happened. But ultimately, doctors were telling us, in essence, that, you know, we were making this up. We were psychosomatic.
Yeah.
Now, finally, when I got to Walter Reed, which is the world's leading traumatic brain injury center, they diagnosed me with a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, and they believed me what happened. And so it's pretty remarkable, kind of, the journey. I think we're smarter now on taking a look at that, you know, at how you diagnose this issue. But for a long time, you know, there's a moral injury of not being believed, as well as a physical injury of being sick.
Mark, do we know how many people, how many American diplomats, at least, around the world, or Americans stationed around the world, have been affected with this Havana syndrome?
You know, I think, you know, reportedly there's several hundred, that's for sure. I mean, you know, from you know, in terms of our cohort within the intelligence community, I mean, I know of several. I'm getting treated with them. I go to Walter Reed's TBI Center together. But I think this phenomenon is growing for several reasons. One is people recognize this has occurred. They're reporting it more. But number two, our adversary is stepping up attacks. I mean, you see press reports of recent attacks in Berlin at the embassy, and Vienna, Austria as well, which is almost
on our homeland.
Casualty. And then on our homeland, and yeah. The symptoms are all very similar. So clearly an adversary is doing this. On a good note, the new CIA director, Bill Byrne, is taking this more seriously. Not only, you know, has he met with all us, he's providing us the health care we need finally. But just as importantly, he put the same kind of our analytic and targeting team that found Osama bin Laden on this issue. And that, to me, is a sign of seriousness and really welcome.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. Former senior intelligence service officer at the CIA and author of Clarity in Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the CIA. This is a really good book. And again, a baseball and dive bar aficionado, from what I'm told. By the way, what's your favorite dive bar in D.C.?
It's called the Vienna Inn. It's a classic dive bar. It's an old CIA hangout. If you go in there, you'll see a hat on the wall that I wore for a year in Afghanistan. The Vienna Inn hat.
When you're in New York, Mark, you'll have to let Juliet and I show you some of our favorites.
Yes, please, Mark. That. Yeah, let us know, definitely. By the way, what's your favorite baseball team?
Well, I'm a Nationals fan and a Red Sox fan. I'm actually headed to Boston this morning to go try to save the Red Sox season.
You grew up in Vienna, Virginia, and you're not an O's fan? How dare you!
I live in Vienna, but I grew up in New Jersey, in fact.
Oh, all right. That's true. Okay.
I went to Martha's Vineyard every summer, so, you know, I became
a Okay, fancy. Okay. Thanks very much, Mark Polymeropoulos. Appreciate it.
Thank you.